Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Shane from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. Our bottle-free water purification service gives you and your employees refreshing, purified, unlimited water on demand. Even better, we pair that with our performance guarantee and inclusive service and maintenance plan, making managing your own hydration service a thing of the past.
What are you waiting for? Visit bottlefreeboston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's bottlefreeboston.com, and make sure you tell Shane and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Los Angeles Lakers take game one of these NBA Finals. Here in the bubble, they continue their excellent play. A dominant victory led by their two stars. The final score is an 18-point advantage, but they led by as many as 32.
Final hour, Felger and Maz. Running a little late here. Sorry about that. 5:06 in the evening, Maz. As we said earlier, the Lakers made the Miami Heat look like an Eastern Conference middler last night. Up by 30-plus at one point, as Breen just said there. I can't remember what the final score was. Whatever. It was a blowout. Looked like Miami didn't belong on the same floor, and that was even before the injuries. So if the Lakers made the Heat look like an Eastern Conference middler, what does that say about you?
It says that you are also an Eastern Conference middler.
Or you choked.
It's that. They choked.
Or you failed.
Yeah, I think they'd have got stomped by the Lakers, too. I do. I just, you know. So again, either way.
See, I don't.
Yeah, they would have lost. How are they going to handle Anthony Davis, Mike?
So lost is different than getting emasculated.
Yeah, it might not have been that bad. I mean, it might not have been that bad. And you know what? They'd put up a better fight than Miami would. Yeah. I'll give you that.
I mean, I think they'd have an easier go of it offensively against the Lakers than they did in the previous two series. Toronto and Miami, who play incredible defense. And obviously, the Celts are just too soft to stand up to it. Against, you know, the Lakers are good defensively, too, but it's not the same. It's not like that team defense.
No, I would say that, yeah, they also play it when they need to.
Right, exactly. It's optional. The Lakers absolutely play an optional brand of defense, and I think the Lakers tend to get into these games where it's, okay, we'll go down and make a basket, you'll come down and make a basket, you know, just sort of back and forth, and I think the Celtics, with their offensive talent, have a better go of it, or would have had a better go of it against the Lakers than even the Heat. But either way, the Lakers curb stomped the Heat last night. What does that say about you? What does that say about you, Murray?
Well, for one, takeaway that I have from that game is that Maz is right when it comes to NBA coaching. I think we would agree that of those two coaches, Frank Vogel with the Lakers, who I think LeBron just wanted so he'd stay out of the way,
right,
and Eric Spoelstra, who is, I think, really good, one of the top coaches in the league, and I think kind of pants Brad Stevens in the prior series. Well, what did that matter in that game last night? It doesn't.
It didn't.
When you have LeBron and you have Anthony Davis, you feed those two, you win the game. You have superstars. That's what really matters. And so it shows me that, you know, one, it's not going to be a series. This thing's already over, especially with the Heat losing Dragic, who the offense mostly goes through. He's got the foot tear, whatever the hell it is. He's doubtful tomorrow. He's definitely not going to play. Adebayo's out. This thing's over. They may win a game, make it a gentleman's sweep. That's it. And then the Celtics, like, should be ashamed of themselves, because this would be a more competitive series, I think, if they went there. Maybe they would push it to six. Maybe. But they lost this series to the Heat. They were probably lucky to get past Toronto. They only ended up winning that thing because Toronto got tired. It's just the whole thing was a failure for the Celtics. It really was.
I mean, I just think the gap between championship teams in the NBA or championship caliber and everybody else is huge. And the Celtics aren't championship caliber. They're just not there yet. Now, look, aside from the not there yet, separate discussion. Did they play well in crunch time against Toronto, and for that matter, obviously Miami? No, they crapped their pants. So, and again, Adebayo ate them for lunch, Mike. He ate them for lunch. Then he went up against Anthony Davis and got his ass kicked.
Trampled.
So this is sort of my point. As I just look at it and say, do you understand, like, and I'm not, you know, I understand it's a separate argument. Okay, I'm not justifying the Miami loss because that was brutal. They have no answer for Adebayo. They're going to deal with Anthony Davis? Like, it's a whole nother level. To me, I'll tell you, one of my big takeaways, they better do something in the middle. Because if you're going to beat a team like that, you either have to be a prolific shooting team like Golden State at its peak, or you're going to have a big guy. They don't have either.
And Chicho, you go back to that coaching thing. Like, stop pumping up Brad Stevens like he's some major asset. Because at the end of the day, when you don't have the superstars, it doesn't matter. It doesn't.
So on a smaller scale is what the Lakers did to Miami last night. On a lesser scale, because you're not as talented, you should have done to Miami, which is like, okay, neat, they're hardworking, and they play together, and they run good sets, and they move the ball, and they're scrappy and tough and all, but you have more talent, so get out of my way.
Yeah, your stars take over.
Right? Exactly. Like, I mean, that's the league,
that's
right?
Fair.
It's like, so, you know, last night, the Lakers, it's like, neat, Eric, run your zone, run your man, you know, run cutters and movement and great teamwork and toughness, and yeah, okay, we'll give the ball to LeBron and Anthony Davis, and that's the ballgame. It's sort of like, that's what I think the NBA being. Like, neat. Do all that intangible stuff. We got the stars. See you later. And on a much lesser scale, obviously, you don't have LeBron and Anthony Davis, but I still thought you had the talented guys. And that ultimately, that other stuff wouldn't matter. It mattered against you. Because either your guys aren't as good as I think they are, possible, Maz. I'm not willing to relent yet. Or you gagged, which is where I am right now. You just aren't tough enough. You can't figure it out. Maturity, obviously, a factor as well. It's one of those intangible things.
Yeah. I just don't think they're as good as everyone thinks they are. Kemba Walker's really not all that good. Yeah, I mean, he's good. I'm not dumping on him. He's just not great. He's not great. And you can neutralize him because he's 5'10". So you double team him. He can't get the ball out of there. And, you know, now on top of the fact, which apparently he's playing hurt, which the Celtics have finally admitted that he wasn't right the whole time they were in the bubble. And so now I wonder, like, what's going to happen long term there? You know, so you had Hayward hurt, you had a Walker hurt, and I'm worried about the long term health of both of those guys. Like, you say, okay, fine, they were hurt. That affected the Celtics. Fine. What's the guarantee that either of those guys are ever going to be healthy? Like, that's my concern. I look at Hayward and say, it's always something with that guy.
And absolutely, that's never going to change.
So, and Stevens, again, to go back to him, was using that as an excuse yesterday as well with Beadle and Zolak about how the guys really stepped up without Gordon Hayward out there and really figured out. It's like, dude, you haven't had Gordon Hayward pretty much the whole time. Like, come on. I mean, he's been out more than he's been in, whether that's, you know, pure games or not. And half the time when he's in, he's not right. So it's like, for all intents and purposes, he's been a non-factor since he's gotten here.
I focus on the young core, I do. So I put less emphasis on Hayward and Walker because I think that those guys are kind of just add-ons. To me, it's about Smart, Tatum, and Brown. Those guys.
What does it say about you? Again, I did some ranting on Brad Stevens earlier. I just think he's so soft on his players, you know, publicly. You know, again, internally, we hear that he can be harder on them than we give him credit for. But publicly, it's just so soft. Like, everything's okay. You guys did well. You tried. It's just, I thought he was, I hated his tone yesterday with Zolak and Bertrand. But, you know, here's an example of sort of both of it. Number two, Jimmy. So he's asked, did the Celtics have the will? Was he okay with the will that the Celtics showed versus the Heat? And he credits the Heat. Go ahead.
That's a credit to them. You know, there's things that there's individual areas that we can improve on. There's no question about that. And there's collective areas that we can improve on. But again, I don't think that was a 1-2 issue. I think that was a, you know, we have to credit them for being better in those moments on both ends of the floor. And again, they deserve that. You know, I think that they're a heck of a team. They're the best team we played in the bubble, not close. And, it's, you know, it'll be a heck of a series here in the finals.
Or it won't be. Or it won't
be. Not after a good start.
And I'm telling you, if Miami shows well, there's still a chance. There's still time. If Miami shows well against the Lakers, pushes them deep or even beats them, you know, then I think you're exonerated a little bit.
Sure.
Because it's like, okay, Miami found some secret sauce there in the bubble and they just carried it the whole way. And it, to me, losing to the champion always dulls the pain and the criticism just a little bit. At least you lost to the best. So if Miami, if not beating the Lakers, does the same thing to them they did to you, which is overcome the talent gap, then at least I could say, all right, Miami was really on. But if they just get their asses kicked in 4 or 5 games and just get turned into some, you know, mid-seed Eastern Conference fodder, oh, does that make it look bad? The narrative that Stevens is spinning there makes you look good. Great team, best team we saw in the bubble by far. Okay, you lost to a great team. What if they're not that great?
Okay, what do you think is going to happen in the finals?
What if you just gagged? Well, now with the injuries, it's going to be hard to tell, but I think without Dragic, they're done.
I think they're porked. I think that was a first-round TKO last night.
Dragic, to me, is the key. Even more than Adebayo.
Neither one is playing in game 2.
Oh, is that already out?
They're doubtful, but they're
doubtful.
Not going to play.
Doubtful is
they're
what I saw. Doubtful.
Play. I mean, it's a plantar fascia tear.
Without Dragic or Adebayo?
Correct.
Oh, it's over.
Forget about it. It's over.
Wipeout. Now, look, I'd be, you know, to me, Dragic is...
That's too bad.
Dragic is cooked. Like, you know, and again, I suppose, like you said, there were degrees of tears. So maybe as a small one or a subtle one, but it doesn't feel to me like that. I don't think he's playing again.
But again, just to Steve, just to reset it quickly, I just, he is so afraid to lose his players. Such ass kissing. Just play the beginning of number four, Jimmy, where, again, he's ball washing the heat. Go ahead.
You know, I thought Miami played great in the bubble. I thought we played great. Like, if you would have told me however long the season started a year ago that we were going to give ourselves a chance to play in the Eastern Conference Finals after beating Philly and Toronto heading into the year, I would have said, that's terrific.
Oh, what a loser comment. You can stop right there, both ends of it.
Terrific.
Miami played great. We played great, too. It's okay, Marcus and Jalen. You guys played great, too. It's okay. You played great. You played hard. It wasn't that. No. They didn't have more will. You had will. You just have to credit them. They played great. But you played great, too. It's okay. It's okay, Marcus. You played great. Jalen, Jason, you played great. You guys played great. Don't worry about it. You played great. It's like you're so afraid. Oh, my God, so soft. But then that second thing, if you had told us to begin the year that we'd be playing the Eastern Finals, what if I told you before the year your conference would not have LeBron, Kawhi, Durant, and Giannis? And no home court, and all you'd have to do is get by Miami on a neutral floor. You're telling me you'd be satisfied if you lost there?
Yeah, that's
brutal.
Well, that's one that people always say to justify a failure at the end. If you had told me this if you had told me 15 years ago, Mike, that we would be here today, I wouldn't have believed you.
That's actually true.
Okay, but even so, it's to dramatize the effect. Him not throwing his players under the bus doesn't bother me like it bothers you. Like, do you really think he's going to come out and rip his own guys?
No.
Yeah, anger's a wasted emotion there, Felger.
But does it have to be so supportive? Like, he's some millennial little leaguer who everyone gets a No, you played hard too, Jalen. You really tried, Marcus. It's not... No. The Heat are really good, but so are you. You're good too, Jalen. You're good too, Marcus. It's like, oh my God, so sensitive to the feelings of these kids who've done nothing, who think they've arrived and won everything, but have done nothing. And the whole tenor and tone of the team and you, frankly, Green Teamers and Green Team Media, so hyper supportive. When is someone going to tell those guys, actually, what you put out there was not good enough? Is anyone going to say that to them? Because I think they could use it. So there's your Celtics reset, I promise, right to your calls after this.
Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Matt from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. With Clear Tide, you can say goodbye to heavy lifting, missed deliveries, bottle storage, and worrying about how much bacteria might be living in your bottled cooler, and say hello to purified, endless refreshment all for one flat monthly rate.
What are you waiting for? Visit BottleFreeBoston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's BottleFreeBoston.com, and make sure to tell Matt and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, disappointed certainly in the result. Not disappointed in the input from our guys. I thought what they gave, you know, all year was incredible. And, you know, we're disappointed to not still be playing. But certainly, you know, our guys gave it all they had.
Oh, yeah, not the players. No. No problem with the players. We're disappointed with the result, but the players were great. They did everything they possibly could. When is someone going to tell those guys it's not good enough? When is that coming? Just curious. All right, back to your phone. Some of you have been waiting very patiently. Thank you for doing so. Like Nick in the car with a basketball thought. Nick, thanks for hanging on. What do you got?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Two quick things, guys. I'm pretty, like, sick and tired of how soft Brad is. If you guys listen to Game 6, the do-or-die pregame speech on ESPN, it literally sounded like my mother was sending me off to school. Hey, have a good day. I hope you do really well. I need some fire. I need some passion. As a diehard Seas fan, I need some grit. And the second thing is, when is Danny going to, you know, get off the love train of the bench and, you know, move some picks around, move some spaces. I need a shooter. I need a big. I need something.
The whole love train, period. It's just, it's not good enough. And if you think it's just, they just have to grow a little bit. I mean, okay. I disagree. I think the team needs more than age. They need more than maturity. They need a change of the mix. And is there anything wrong with accelerating the growth a little bit by pushing them a little bit? And maybe they're doing it behind the scenes, but publicly, wow, it is hard to be softer on your players than those guys are, Stevens and Ainge. His comment line said, does Mike D'Antoni to Philly scare you?
No, please.
The opposite.
Doc to Philly kind of scares me, but Mike D'Antoni going to the 76ers, please make that happen.
100%,
yeah,
right.
D'Antoni doesn't scare me at all, because at the end of the day, his teams don't play defense and they won't win.
Doc doesn't scare me either. Philly doesn't scare me.
But Doc would likely kick Embiid in the ass.
So that's,
you know?
It. That's like, it. It's not an X and O thing. It's a, could Doc Rivers reach Embiid?
Yes.
You know, and then Embiid becomes a scarier guy who you can't match up against.
Yeah, so Doc should scare you to Philly, because, again, he's a guy that's not a X's and O's guy. He is more of your traditional NBA coach. Like, the talent will dictate it. He'll lean on his assistants for the X's and O's. But he's got the credibility to look at Embiid and go, who the hell are you?
All right, Eddie and Derry, how do you feel about those Tuukka Rask trade rumors? Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, I've been beating this Rask drum since he coughed up that 3-0 lead against the Flyers. The fact that this guy is a top-5 goalie is an absolute mortal sin. And while you're shipping him out of town, ship Bad Stevens out of town. This guy's been the longest coach in the history of the franchise without winning a championship. And let's bring someone in who knows how to win, Larry Bird.
Okay. That'd be a fun coach.
Yeah, he got out of it for a reason. He coached for a little while. He was done with that.
Yeah, he did. No, see, again, he is Amy Barrett Coney, whatever it is, a Supreme Court nomination. Stevens has got it for life. He just got extended. He's not being shipped out. He's just being re-signed. Consistently, constantly re-signed. And I don't want to go too far with it, because I think the coach is relatively powerless in the NBA.
The coach isn't the issue.
It's not the issue. He's not the issue. It's just, I do think there is a cultural problem with the Celtics where
they love everyone. Everything's great. There's no negativity.
Everything's awesome. Always, you know, and it's like,
stop holding on to your assets. Like these dumb draft picks, these players that you think are going to become something else. Like, it's time to shake it up.
A little bit, at least. A little bit. I think if you keep the exact same roster and just wait for them to grow old, it's never going to be good enough.
Like, they got to add to the roster. There's no two ways about it.
But if they do it via the draft, and it's like more bench role players, the results are going to be the same next year.
So this is my concern with the whole Robert Williams thing. He's in year two. He's missed time, so he's probably a little behind that. And he's not going to be good, what, till year five? I mean, like, championship caliber? So we're going to wait 3 more years? Is that what we're going to do?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, like, no good. You got to bring it. You got to do something before then.
And in the meantime, you lose every year, and everyone says it's okay. You guys tried hard.
And Tatum further gets poisoned by Kyrie Irving.
And never mind Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum's ear, which, again, the all-time whopper of a quote today, if you haven't heard this.
I mean, you know, well, go ahead.
Kyrie Irving was on a podcast with Kevin Durant and was asked about his new coach, Steve Nash. And Kyrie Irving said, quote, I don't really see us as having a head coach. You know what I mean? He said, KD could be a head coach. I could be a head coach, he says. It's a collaborative effort. I'll tell you what.
Which I would say, thoughts and prayers go out to Steve Nash. Good luck, pal.
Yeah, good luck to the Brooklyn Nets. They're going nowhere with that guy. Forget, of all the a-hole quotes I have ever heard come out of the mouth of a professional athlete, that might be number one. Have you ever heard of a guy sit there and say, well, I don't really consider us as having a coach? Like, Steve Nash hasn't even had a practice yet.
And that's the guy who's mentoring Jason Tatum to this day in his ear.
So this is, what is he, Kyrie want to be player coach? How would the Nets do if Kyrie were player coach? How do you think that would go? Can you imagine Devin McCourty sitting there saying, I don't really consider us as having a head coach?
That'd go over.
Yeah, that'd really go over well, wouldn't it?
We spent a bunch of time on the baseball format. I kind of dig it. The games are still insufferable, but the format, the bracket, kind of cool. What do you think? John in Boston, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to bring up, so I'm one of the younger baseball fans, too. I'm 27, but I wanted to bring up, you know, today I'm watching the Braves game, and it's nothing for the first five innings. And then, you know, the sort of the Braves finally hit a home run. Ozuna's hits a big home run, puts the Braves ahead, and they're about to clinch the game. And he does this kind of celebration on the way to first base, and it's like he's taking a selfie. Okay, and Vasgersian and A-Rod are on the call, and they immediately comment about it. And then right after it happens, they immediately go, well, what do you think, Buster? Do you think the unwritten rules of baseball were broken during that celebration? It's like, come on, guys. Do you really need to go on after that? It's a nice moment. Just let it breathe.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that's all that unwritten rule stuff is a sidebar. You know, if it were a fast game, a fast, tight game with the ball in play, and they still had all those unwritten rules where you couldn't celebrate, the game would be much better off.
Oh, it's about the pace of play, for sure.
Right. So, I mean, those guys, if the old codgers didn't, if bat flipping, ass shaking, selfie taking, and it still takes 3.5 hours, it ain't going to help you.
No, that's right. It's not good enough. It's about the quality of the product. And the whole bat flip thing and the, you know, unwritten rule, I'm, you know, they got to lighten up on that. I'm not telling you I like that stuff. But it's about the quality of the product.
Thank you.
The product blows. How many times do I have to say this? It gets worse every year. It blows and it never gets better. That's the astonishing thing is you sit here, you watch it, and it gets worse, and nobody ever does anything about it. More shifts, more strikeouts, more walks, more bullcrap. It never gets better. It gets worse. It's stunning. It's like they don't care.
Big Jim Murray's update, and then we have one more segment of your wonderful phone calls.
Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Matt from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. With Clear Tide, you can say goodbye to heavy lifting, missed deliveries, bottle storage, and worrying about how much bacteria might be living in your bottled cooler, and say hello to purified, endless refreshment all for one flat monthly rate.
What are you waiting for? Visit BottleFreeBoston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's BottleFreeBoston.com, and make sure to tell Matt and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Felger and Mads. Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Wrap it up with your calls on everything we've hit on today. Some MLB talk. Love the format. Games, though, still really, really long, and the ball's never put in play. Tom and Quincy, what do you think?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Mike, as much as bad as the Red Sox actually ripped my soul out of my chest this year, I usually always watch baseball, even if the Sox suck. And, you know, I'd watch the playoffs if they get bounced. This year is a disgrace in every which way imaginable with the Red Sox, so it's tough to watch baseball at all. I've watched maybe an inning or two with some of the playoffs. I like the layout of it. I like the whole, you know, the tournament style thing. But when you're watching these games, it feels like every lineup on every team is the same. They're all doing the same thing. You know, they're striking out a ton, and there's at least one guy that's going to hit close to a 500-foot bomb every game. And now my fear, my worst fear, is how bad the Red Sox are. They've already started to kind of manipulate and kind of do this to their lineup. So everyone beyond Devers and Bogaerts on that team, all the younger guys, are built in that mode. The Dahlbecks and the Chavis and this Blaze Jordan kid that they just drafted are all built in this same thing, just swing from your ass, strike out, no big deal. It's going to go 500 feet. You don't get more runs for how far it goes, and that's the part that's frustrating to me. It's pissing me off a little bit.
Is this true, Maz? Are those hitters in that fashion?
Oh, I think they're trying to make everybody the same kind of player. Yeah, I think this is a big problem with the game. And I half wonder if this is what's gone on with Andrew Benintendi and why he sucks. I mean, look at Andrew Benintendi.
He should be a doubles hitter.
Absolutely.
He's trying, determined a launch angle home run?
I don't know. I mean, again, I remember when he came up, watching his swing, I felt in some ways his ability to control the bat head reminded me a little bit of like Mattingly early in his career. And I'm not saying he's Mattingly.
I understand.
Okay, I'm just saying that I saw some similarity there. Because he could take a pitch in the middle of the plate, turn his bat like almost vertically and hit a double in the left field corner. And now, I don't see that anymore. So what did they do to him? Why does he suck? And I fear that they're going to do the same thing to Verdugo. Verdugo sprays the ball around. He's a doubles hitter. He's got some power. He can hit you 20, 25 home runs. So in that case, I'll take the guy who can hit 315 with 50 doubles and 20 homers. What is wrong with that?
So it's just not the game. Walk, strikeout, home run. That's what they want. And you just see it in snippets. I mentioned that Reds game yesterday, which, again, had more strikeouts in that single game than occurred in the entire 1976 World Series between the Reds and Yankees. 37 strikeouts yesterday. It was an extra inning game. It went 13. But there were more strikeouts in that extra inning ball game yesterday than the entire 1976 World Series, which was a four-game sweep. But still, in that game, you know, we would look up and there were men on base all over the place. And no one could drive them in. Because I don't think anyone knows how to hit anymore.
No, there's no such thing as situational baseball. It's just not there.
So I would like to know some nerd, you know, come up, just give me like, give me batting average with runners in scoring position now versus 20 years ago. You know, it must suck.
Well, so I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, that might be the kind of number that finds water no matter what. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But to me, it's even about more than that. It's not necessarily about the average. It's about man on second, nobody out. Are you moving them over? Or are you playing for the three runs all the time? So part of the reason that game went 13 innings yesterday is because they're not playing for one run. Can you get the one and win the game?
Oh, and no one could.
Like, I just don't think that there's no such thing as hit and run anymore, Mike. Nobody does that. There's no such thing as a, you know. Now, I think a couple of guys this year started to actually hit the ball to the opposite field when there was a shift. Like, part of me almost wants to say, will someone just do it to piss everyone off?
So, again, I just want to repeat these numbers because they blew me away. That Yankees-Indians game yesterday, which took 4 hours and 50 minutes with a rain delay, an hour and 16-minute rain delay. Okay, so the game was really 3:34, whatever that is, whatever that math ends up to be. Well over 3 hours, 3.5 hours for a 9-inning ball game, 4:50 including the rain delays. That had, I looked it up, 12 pitchers were used, which means there were 10 pitching changes?
Correct.
Okay. There were 43 combined walks and strikeouts. So between all the walks and strikeouts, there were 43 walks and strikeouts. There were also 3 home runs. All right? There was also one hit batter. So if you add all those up, there were 93 plate appearances in the game. 93 plate appearances. If you add up the walks, strikeouts, home runs, and the hit batter, that equals 47. 47 of the 93 plate appearances, nothing happened.
Correct.
Half of the game, half of a 5-hour ball game, featured no action.
Yeah, now you're including the three homers.
So
right?
I'm including the three homers because no one moves in a homer. There's the ball's not in play. But if you want to take out the three homers, then it's just under half.
Right.
It's almost exactly 50% of a five-hour ball game. Nothing happened.
Right. The defense is never asked to make a play.
I mean, it's...
Think of it in those terms. The defense is not asked to make a play in more than half the game. So you're just standing there with the glove up your butt.
I mean, even the old-timers that love the game, do you like that?
No.
There's no way that they can.
I mean, come on.
Helps you get to sleep easier.
The paradoxes, too, drive me bananas, because as we talk about this again, and it was, I think it was 92 plate appearances, not to get overly particular about it, 47 out of 92. So on half the plays, nobody's going to use their glove, other than the catcher. Okay? Nobody's going to use it. So why do we pump up Jackie Bradley's defense?
excellent point.
But this is so they want to shove the defensive metrics down our throat, but at the same time tell us, well, we don't want the ball in play. Well, then what do I need the defensive metrics for?
Let me give you just a
can little... you, like what? Well, what's the point? Why are you shoving all this stuff down my throat when they're contradictory?
It's painful. It's painful. Trying to watch the game. Try to watch the game. See, tell me how you do. Meanwhile, we have just a little bit of breaking news.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
From Adrian Wojnarowski, NBA insider for ESPN. He just tweeted, after a rapid courtship and negotiation, Doc Rivers has reached agreement on a deal to become the next head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers.
I'm not surprised.
It's a good fit.
He made sense right from the beginning. He did. He absolutely... Murray, was it you who said Philly at the beginning?
Yeah, me and Jimmy were saying it.
Yeah, so how about Dr. Philly?
I was first.
Yeah, yes, you're first, Jimmy. Congratulations.
I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense because they need somebody there that's got some cred.
Now, if I were Maz, I would say, I know you felt he would never be a fit in Philly.
Yeah.
You know, that's right. You underestimated Miami from the beginning.
No, so I'm sorry. He's a fit because someone's got to reach those players,
yes,
and beat him especially.
And I think that this is Doc's strength. He's got credibility with players. Okay, so now the X's and O's? No. I mean, I don't think that's his. He needs good assistance around him. But in terms of his ability to, like, you know, get through to players and have credibility with players, I think it's high. And so I think he's a good hire for Philly.
So I have no respect for Philly as a team. They don't scare me. I don't fear them. But Doc makes them a little more. I'll give him a half a second more consideration with Doc there. What if Doc gets to some of those guys?
Sure.
You know, then I think, I mean, I don't think you can teach Ben Simmons to shoot, can he?
No, probably not. No, it's about getting someone in there that can kick Embiid in the ass and having him come in shape and caring and giving it his all every game.
Okay, let me whip through these calls before we get out of here. Roland and Stoughton been waiting patiently on the Celts. Go ahead, Roland.
So I wanted to talk about a few things. One, the lack of leadership that you guys were talking about and signing a solid veteran. If you think about that game five, when the Celtics actually started playing good, setting screens on the outside to the zone and getting in the middle, when Miami was struggling, it wasn't Eric Spoelstra who took them aside and started yelling at them.
Haslam.
Because sometimes, you know, listening to a coach, it gets repetitive. Yeah. You had Udonis Haslam talking to them, and you had another veteran in Andre Iguodala. And I think that ties into from the top down. You think about the Celtics continue to play the same exact way because they don't have any fear of getting traded. So they're like, oh, well, we played good, so let's just continue to do the same thing. But they're not playing good. They need to be held accountable.
So I agree. The question is if they're ready to listen. So, but putting that aside, these guys keep bringing up Perk.
I like Murray's idea of Kendrick Perkins. I like that.
I mean, he's been ripping him a new one day in, day out on ESPN.
It's true.
Pay him a ton of money to leave that cushy job and just say sit on the bench and yell at these guys.
Do it in all the stuff you're saying on ESPN and NBC Sports, just do it on the bench. There you go. You're already calling him out.
Oh, and he's not afraid to do it. I mean, he did it when he played.
What was that runners in scoring position stat you wanted?
I was just curious how modern baseball players hit with runners in scoring position versus 20 years ago.
So Boston Sports Inf DM'd me to say that all MLB, this year it was 256 was the batting average with runners in scoring position. 20 years ago, year 2000, it was 269.
Okay, so there you go.
It's dropped.
Because no one knows how to hit.
Because they don't swing.
They're trying to launch. They're trying to launch for a home run. They're not, and if not, they're drawing a walk. So it's down 13 points, and that's a pretty big move.
I mean, I'd say overall batting average, period, has gone down in baseball.
Probably has.
Oh, it's a joke. Again, they just go and swing from their ass like it's home run derby. Like, if we're going to do that, let's just do home run derby.
Well, they care about OPS more. You get paid on OPS more than average.
And totally.
OPS is just getting on base or slugging, right, which is bases. So you're just swinging out of your ass.
I mean, the idea that a 230 guy is worth more than a, you know, with a high OPS is worth more than a, or the same as a 285 guy with the same OPS is freaking asinine. It's asinine. Mike, I'll take the 285 guy every time.
Mike in the truck, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a millennial, and I wanted to talk about baseball for a second. I'm 35, and I think that the game both sucks and blows. And in a normal year where baseball is the only thing on, it's the only thing that it's good for is to throw on in the background while you're doing something more entertaining.
So, I mean, that's generally how baseball is consumed now. I think postseason baseball is awesome. I mean, the individual drama of a big at-bat in an elimination baseball game, it's tremendous. There's nothing really like it. It's just, it just takes way too long. And the nature of the game has changed, where it's just, there's just too many walks, strikeouts, and home runs.
Yeah, you're up pointing at this White Sox-A's game that's on the studio here. Tied at 4 in the bottom of the fifth. It's a game that started in 10 minutes, 3 hours ago.
I know. So I looked up and saw that it was in the fifth inning. I said, you've got to be kidding me.
I mean, it's just like, so, I mean, I love the drama, the individual at bat, but at some point it's like, okay, my ass is getting sore. I can't sit here all day. So it's in the fifth inning and we're now 3 hours old.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so this is like, you got to
treat yeah, it's insane.
No, you got to treat it like an NBA regular season game now. Wake me up in the bottom of the eighth.
Well, and people say, well, it's the playoffs. You know, that's when you want it to go long. And to me, it's just the opposite. To me, it's just the opposite. Take as long as you need in May, because I can ignore you, and I don't need to watch you. In the postseason, I actually want to watch it. I want to watch this. So this is when I want the product to move and it to be at its best. And it's just, oh, my God. That's a perfect example. This is going to be a four-hour ball game.
Yeah, it's excruciating. Seriously, I mean, I might as well just go out in the backyard and throw the ball against the side of the house. And then just, you know, let me know when it's ready to go, and I'll come in and watch.
There's already been 8 walks in this game and 11 strikeouts.
I don't know how many times I can say this, okay? The product blows. It blows. The quality of the product sucks. It's terrible, and it's getting worse.
And on that note, the final word comes your way next.
Dugger Mass. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Matt from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. With Clear Tide, you can say goodbye to heavy lifting, missed deliveries, bottle storage, and worrying about how much bacteria might be living in your bottled cooler, and say hello to purified, endless refreshment, all for one flat monthly rate.
What are you waiting for? Visit BottleFreeBoston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's BottleFreeBoston.com, and make sure to tell Matt and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire, the best prices. And great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
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 Kind of a hodgepodge of stuff on the show today, from bashing baseball, from Felger loving that bracket. Just put the bracket up on
the
TV instead of actually watching the games.
Great bracket.
But there was some NBA stuff, NBA Finals last night. And then when it came to the Celtics, well, Felger just hates the softness of the Celtics.
Not enough urgency among their fans. The media are soft as puppy poo when it comes to this team, whether it's Danny Ainge's buddies in the media or just the soft touch approach with that team. Oh, wee!
No. Yeah, we're disappointed. We lost the amazing.
Oh, yeah, really? They just got curb stomped. They just got curb stomped. Best in the bubble.
Or not.
So, you know, was there anything you did? No. We brought full will and marks, and it's just the Heat. Give it up. They were the best team in the bubble by far. Really? They almost lost by 32 points last night.
See, I'm not offended by this stuff too, because I expect them to throw guys over.
We really played great. Oh, no. We played amazing. We played great. Oh, my God. It's insufferable. And the coach is just like, oh, no. We played great. Miami played great, but we played great, too. We all played great. They got to prop them up like they're a bunch of, you know, sucky little league players. You'll get a medal too, Marcus. You get a medal. No, Jason. No. You played well too. No. Miami didn't have more will. You had all the will. You tried as hard as you could, Jalen.
You know, so like, I get it's the NBA, not Connell. At some point, my brother, was there a point where you say?
I think the team needs a Chris Paul. So, like, Chris Paul's my idea, is my plan. Like, if I'm them,
I had it first.
You staking claim to that one?
Yeah. I had it first. Just like I had the Heat first, and there was one other
the
I had
Lakers,
first. Way first. Like, I don't even, we're going to leave that to the side for now. It's okay, Jalen and Jason. You played hard, too. You guys were good, too. It's okay. It's okay, says the coach. You tried hard, too. You tried hard, too. It's okay. You guys, Jalen, Marcus, you played good, too, just so you know.
There's something to this bitchy I had it first thing I like.
Yeah, me too. That's such a bitchy thing to say, but I did have that first, too.
Yeah, I had it first. Jimmy had the Doc Rivers thing first.
Did he?
Yeah, pretty much. He said Doc to Philly. I mean, he suggested it. And so I give him props on that one.
I had it first.
Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Shane from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. Our bottle-free water purification service gives you and your employees refreshing, purified, unlimited water on demand. Even better, we pair that with our performance guarantee and inclusive service and maintenance plan, making managing your own hydration service a thing of the past.
What are you waiting for? Visit bottlefreeboston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's bottlefreeboston.com, and make sure you tell Shane and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150. Win or lose, bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.